You know, we are involved in a study of the life of that great man of God, Moses, and we've come to the place where the Israelites have built the tabernacle at the base of Mount Sinai. And last week, we talked about how in the operation of the tabernacle, there were two fundamental great spiritual truths that God was trying to communicate to the human race. And I want to review and remind you what those two great truths were. Number one, we have the truth of substitutionary atonement. And all this means is that God agrees to grant atonement, forgiveness to sinners based on the death, based on the shed blood of an innocent substitute. And secondly, we saw the truth that the substitutionary blood of Jesus Christ is the permanent, the ultimate, and the final solution for all the sin of the world. And today, what I want to do before we move on is I want us to look at one last element of the tabernacle that has enormous significance for our lives. We want to talk about the torn veil. And if you don't know what that is, stick with me. We'll explain that to you. Now, let's go back and review what we learned last week about the layout and the operation of the tabernacle. You'll remember we said that the tabernacle building itself, and later, of course, the temple building, which was based on the tabernacle, was divided into two rooms. The outer room was called the holy place, and the priests went in and out of here every day doing their ministry. The inner room was called the Holy of Holies. This was the most sacred place in all of Israel because it contained the most sacred object in all of Israel, which was the Ark of the Covenant with its lid of solid gold called the mercy seat. But most important of all was that in the Holy of Holies, it was here that God's personal presence dwelled. Now, this inner room, the Holy of Holies, was separated from the outer room by a thick, opaque curtain, or veil, if you will, made of solid fabric, and no one was allowed to enter the Holy of Holies except the high priest. Once a year, on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the high priest alone would go behind this veil into the Holy of Holies, and he would take with him the blood of a blemishless goat. He would place this blood on the mercy seat on the top of the ark as an offering for sin, and in response, God promised that he would forgive the sin of the entire nation for that past year. Now, according to Jewish tradition, when the high priest would enter the Holy of Holies on that one day a year, before he went in, the other priest would tie a rope around one of his ankles so that, in case he dropped dead of a heart attack in there, or so that, in case God struck him dead in there, they had a way to get him out. They could pull the rope and pull his body out. Because you see, without that, his body would have to lie in there for the entire year and rot until a new high priest on the next Yom Kippur could go in there and get him. The point is, no Jew in the world would have dreamed of going inside the Holy of Holies even to retrieve that dead body. No Jew in the world would have done that. That's how inviolable, that's how off limits the Holy of Holies was. And remember what we said a moment ago. We said that what separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the tabernacle was this thick, opaque veil that hung and went from ceiling to floor. Now, what do we know about this veil? Well, according to Jewish tradition, the Jewish writings of the rabbis, they tell us that this veil was made out of a solid piece of cloth that was the thickness between the end of a man's middle finger and the end of his thumb. Therefore, it was the thickness of about 8 to 9 inches, a piece of solid cloth. They also tell us that this piece of cloth was 60 feet high and 20 feet wide. And these same Jewish writings tell us it took 300 priests at once to hoist this curtain up and maneuver it into place. Friends, this was one hunkin' big piece of cloth. You understand what I'm saying to you? A big one. And the reason this veil was so big And the reason this veil was so imposing is because it was meant to deliver an imposing message. And that message was, hey, you don't belong in the Holy of Holies. Hey, you don't belong behind this curtain. Because God lives behind this curtain, and God is holy, and you're not. And therefore, you as a sinner have no grounds. You as a sinner have no platform upon which to stand in the presence of a holy God. Now, I would call that a pretty imposing message, wouldn't you? I think so. Now, let me show you something fabulous. Let me show you something absolutely wonderful. Matthew chapter 27, watch. And when they came to the place called Golgotha, which means a place of a skull, they crucified Jesus. And from noon until 3 p.m., darkness fell on the land. Then Jesus, when he had cried out with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit. Watch now. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook. Now look at this. Friends, the very first official act of God after Jesus died on the cross, what was his very first act? His very first act was to tear the veil of the temple in two vertically, to split it right down the middle, and to expose the Holy of Holies for all the world to see. Now, in light of the thickness of this veil, in light of the density and the massiveness of this veil, there can be no doubt that splitting it down the middle was an act, a direct act of Almighty God, that it was a supernatural event. And so that raises the question, why? I mean, why did God do this? What was so important about ripping this veil down the middle that God chose to make it his very first action following the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Well, that's the question we want to talk about now, because it really leads us to another very important question. And you all know what that other very important question is. So are you ready? You guys ready back there? All right, here we go. Nice and loud. One, two, three.
So what? Yes.
You say, Lon, so what? Say, man, you're all worked up there. God bless you up there. But, I mean, what difference does this torn veil make to me when I go out of my house every morning to go to work, to go to school, to drive the carpool? I mean, what difference does it make? I'm going to help you with that. Hang with us now. You know, this past year's Super Bowl 42, was a wonderful event for my son Justin, because he's been an avid New York Giants fan ever since he was a kid. Do we have any other Giants fans here? Three. All right. And one big one. All right. Now, in fact, when my son Justin was 13 years old, he and I actually went up to a Giants game together to kind of do a father-son thing at the Meadowlands, went into that wonderful stadium. And after the game was over, we went outside the stadium and we stood around the players' entrance in the hopes that Justin could get to see his favorite player, Lawrence Taylor, Hall of Fame linebacker, commonly known as LT. Well, we stood there for a while, and all these players were coming out. Matt Barr, the kicker, came out. All these huge linemen came out. And every player that came out, I would say to Justin, who's that? He'd name them. I'd say, who's that? He'd name them, but no Lawrence Taylor. Finally, it got late, and so I walked up to the guard, and I said, when's Lawrence Taylor come out? I said, my son here, that's his favorite player, and we want to get just a moment, if we can, to see if he could just talk to Lawrence Taylor. And the guard said to me, sir, he said, you see that red Porsche over there inside that barbed wire fence? I said, yeah. He said, that's Lawrence Taylor's car. He said, you see all those big guys standing around that car? I said, yeah. He said, those are Lawrence Taylor's personal bodyguards. He said, sir, Lawrence Taylor comes out of his own private entrance. Those men escort him to his automobile. He gets in his automobile and he drives out of a different driveway than this one. He said, nobody gets through that fence and gets close to Lawrence Taylor. I said, but sir, I have a 13-year-old little boy here who idolizes Lawrence Taylor. I mean, don't you think that maybe even you could let us in and we could go over to the fence and just talk to him through the fence? And he said to me, sir, it ain't gonna happen, sir. And you know what? It didn't happen. We never got close to Lawrence Taylor. Now you say, what are you talking about up there? All right, listen. All right, it has a point. The point is, friends, that the veil in the Holy of Holies was just like that barbed wire fence outside of the Meadowlands, outside of Giant Stadium. It was meant to deliver the very same kind of message that that barbed wire fence was meant to deliver. And that is that in our sinful human condition, when it comes to us getting close to God, we're just like my son Justin trying to get close to Lawrence Taylor. Folks, it ain't gonna happen. Because you see, in our sinful human condition, the Bible declares that we are alienated from God, that we are separated from God, that we are estranged from a holy God, that we are unable to dwell in His holy presence. We are prohibited from having direct access to Him. And what's worse, in our own energy and in our own effort, there's nothing we can do to fix this problem. But look. When Jesus Christ paid for our sins on the cross, friends, the very first thing God did was rip that veil in the temple in two. Friends, the torn veil symbolizes the heart and soul of everything that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to accomplish. Let me repeat that. The torn veil symbolizes the heart and the soul of everything that Jesus died on the cross to accomplish. The torn veil tells us that now that Christ has paid for our sin on the cross, everything has changed between us and God. The torn veil tells us that because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished on the cross, the way into God's personal presence is now open to everyone who trusts in Christ. The torn veil tells us that when we as sinners trust in what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross, we are granted access right into the very presence of Almighty God, right into the Holy of Holies. Watch with me as the Bible explains this to us in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 3. The Bible says, behind the veil in the tabernacle, there was a room called the Holy of Holies. And into this room, the high priest alone would enter once a year, never without blood, which he offered for his sins and the sins of all the people. By this veil, the Holy Spirit was showing us that the way into the Holy of Holies had not yet been granted to everyone. But, oh, what a great word. But when Jesus appeared, he entered into the heavenly Holy of Holies once for all, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood, and obtained eternal redemption for us. For by one sacrifice, himself on the cross, he, Jesus, has perfected forever those who believe in him. Now watch, here comes the Bible's big so what about this. You go, well, it's about time. All right, here it is. Ready? Therefore, the Bible says, therefore, brothers, by the blood of Jesus, watch this now, we now have confidence. We as sinners have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies by the new and living way which he, Jesus, opened for us through the veil. When he split the veil in two, he opened a way into the very presence of God by his blood that didn't exist before. Therefore, the Bible says, let us draw near to God. Whoa, there it is, friends. Let us draw near to God. God is inviting every sinner who trusts Christ to draw near to him now with full assurance. You see what the Bible's saying here, friends? The Bible is saying that the Lord Jesus came to earth, he went to the cross, he shed his blood on the cross, he died in our place there, he paid for our sins there, don't miss this now, so that he could tear down the barrier between God and sinners, so that he could rip in two the barrier between God and sinners, the barrier that had been caused by our sins, by our transgressions, so that this barrier that the veil in that temple represented was gone forever. Colossians chapter 1 talks about this. It says, "For it was God's good pleasure to reconcile us to himself through the blood of Jesus' cross. And although we were formerly alienated from God, and although formerly there was a big veil between us and the presence of God," watch, "God now has forgiven all of our transgressions and has canceled all of our debts," all those things that caused that veil to exist. "He has taken them all out of the way," watch, "having nailed them all to the cross." Now, all right, you can clap for that. And now, since this is true, my friends, since this is true, every person who trusts the blood of Jesus Christ, every true follower of Christ, God now invites us into his personal presence. God now invites us into the Holy of Holies with him. There is no more veil. It is ripped. It is torn in two. It is gone forever. It's been torn into shreds by the blood of Jesus. This is the message of the torn veil. Now you say, "Well, Lon, that's great. I mean, and you're, I can tell you're excited. But I mean, are you sure you got this right? I mean, are you sure you're not reading way too much into this veil being torn?" No, I'm positive. And what makes me certain is that the Apostle Paul drives home this very same message to us in Romans chapter 5. Watch what he says. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore," Paul says, "since we have been justified, since we have been declared not guilty by faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have gained access." Look at that. We have gained access into this gracious position with God in which we now stand. You know how here in America, sometimes to certain countries, we grant favored nation status? You know what I mean? All right. Well, what the Bible's telling us is that when we place our trust in Jesus Christ, God grants us justified person status. And when we get justified person status in the sight of God, we get two awesome things, Paul says. Number one, we get peace with God. Now, don't confuse peace with God with the peace of God. Those are two very different things. Philippians chapter 4 says that the peace of God is an experiential feeling of calm and of assurance and of tranquility that God gives us in the storms of life when we cast all of our burdens on him. That's the peace of God. But friends, peace with God is not an experiential feeling. It is a legal agreement between God and a sinner, whereby God declares that based on the finished work of Christ on the cross, that the war is over between God's holiness and our sinfulness. We have peace with God, a peace treaty with God that will never be broken. Justification, my friends, is what transforms us from being God's enemies into being God's friends for all of eternity. Because of what Christ did on the cross for us, we are justified. We are not guilty. We are acquitted. We are exonerated for all of time and eternity. That's the first benefit we get. But there's a second one. The second benefit is we get access to God. This is exactly what the message of the torn veil is trying to communicate. Let's go back and read the verse again. "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Watch now. "Through whom also," meaning the Lord Jesus, "we have gained access." There you go. "Into this gracious position with God in which we now stand." The other thing that justification in Christ gives us, my friends, is it gives us, look at the verse, a new gracious position with God. What does that mean? Well, John chapter 1 verse 12 says that we become the adopted children of God. To all of us who did receive Christ, God gave us the right to become the children of God. We have a new position with God, and as God's children, we are granted personal access to God in a way that the rest of mankind is not given. Because, friends, the rest of mankind is still alienated from God by those very transgressions and those very sins that for us as followers of Christ, God nailed to the cross. We don't have them anymore, but the rest of mankind still does. And because of this new status we have with God, what does the verse say? We have gained access right into the very presence of God. You know, I've lived here in Washington 37 years, and God's given me the privilege of experiencing some really great things, some really great places I've been able to see. But if you were to say to me, hey, Lon, is there any place left in Washington that you've not been that you really, really would like to go and see? I would say, yeah, there's one. And that is, I would really love to see the living quarters at the White House. You know, upstairs, where the president actually lives. I've never been invited there. It's never been offered to me. But that would be something. Wouldn't that be cool to see that? Well, you know, back in 1987, we were out at Hume Lake Christian Camps in California. We went there for many, many years every summer. And my son, Jamie, who was 10 at the time, was in Wagon Train. This is a camp where everybody, all the kids between like 7 and 11 years old, they sleep in covered wagons, about 10 kids to a wagon. And it just so turned out that one of the young boys in his wagon was a fellow named Cameron Reagan. Did you get that? Reagan. This was President Ronald Reagan's grandson. And he was there along with six or eight fellows who wore, you know, golf shirts with big bulges in them. You understand what I'm saying? And my son Jamie was in the wagon with Cameron Reagan. And I remember Jamie told me about a conversation they had where he asked Cameron Reagan, he said, have you ever been to the White House? And Cameron said, of course. He said, I've been there all. In fact, he said, I've even spent the night there a number of times upstairs with my grandpa. Now, how come he gets to go upstairs there and I don't get to go upstairs there? You say, well, Lon, what are you, stupid? What are you, stupid? Of course he gets to go up there. He's family. You're not family, Lon. You're not even close. He's family. Well, that makes sense to you, doesn't it? Makes sense to me that because he's family, he gets an access to the White House and to the president I don't get. Well, friends, this is the great news of the Bible. The great news of the Bible is that when you and I place our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross, we become family to Almighty God. We become the adopted children of God. We have a new gracious position and standing with God. And because we're family, one of the blessed privileges of being family is that we are granted direct and immediate access to Almighty God, our Heavenly Father himself. Personally, we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through a pastor. We don't have to go through an administrative assistant. We don't have to go through a switchboard. No way, no way. Ephesians 2:18 says, through Jesus Christ, we have direct access to the Father. All we got to do is pray and call on him, and immediately we're there in his presence. And that's why God ripped the veil of the temple in two, my friends, to make sure that as followers of Christ, we understand this. To make sure that as followers of Christ, the message is clear. You can come in here. You can enter the Holy of Holies. You can come into my very presence. In fact, I invite you in. I want you in. You're not alienated from me anymore. Jesus fixed that on the cross. Well, let's conclude today by asking a question. And my question is this. If you're here today and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, my question is, are you fully utilizing this free access to God that you've been given? You know, I love what Hebrews chapter 4 says. It says, let us therefore boldly, what a great word, huh? Boldly draw near with confidence. Wow, look at this. To God's throne of grace, let us come boldly right on into the Holy of Holies, God says, that we may receive mercy and we may find grace to help in time of need. Friends, God, as followers of Christ, he gave us this access that the rest of the world doesn't have because he wants us to use it. You say, but Lon, you know, I understand what you're saying. But listen, Lon, even as a follower of Jesus Christ, I mean, honestly, my life is not everything it should be. I mean, even as a follower of Jesus Christ, I mean, I do and say and think things sometimes that I know God's not happy with. I mean, honestly, Lon, even as a follower of Jesus, I'm not worthy to march boldly into the presence of God with confidence in light of, well, some of the things that happen in my life week by week. Well, you know what? You are absolutely right. You are not worthy in yourself to do this, and neither am I. But friends, that's the great news of the Bible, is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, you are under the blood of Christ. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you are covered by the blood of Christ. And because you are covered in the blood of Christ, because you are hidden behind the blood of Christ, all of those warts and all of those failures, God ignores them and still invites you to come into his very presence and to ask for what you need so you can get mercy and grace. The blood of Jesus makes you worthy to walk into the presence of God even though you're really not. And you know, I have a confession I want to make here. And that is that sometimes, personally, I get so overwhelmed by the situations of life that I forget I've got this access, you know? Sometimes I forget that God has granted me this incredible privilege to bring all of my burdens in and just lay them off on him, and then he'll give me the peace of God that the Bible talks about. And so instead of accessing his peace, I fret and I worry. And instead of accessing his strength, I exhaust myself trying to work it out in my own energy. And sometimes instead of accessing his wisdom, I try to figure it out myself and end up doing some stupid things. And sometimes instead of accessing the hope that is found in Christ, I end up despairing. And sometimes instead of accessing his comfort, I end up being lonely and hurting. And then the Holy Spirit's got to smack me upside the head and say, what is wrong with you? Have you forgotten what you've got? Why don't you march into the presence of God and give him the burden? And I have to go, oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. The Spirit of God's got to say to me, Lon, I got a much better way for you to live than the way you're living right now. Go on in there to the presence of God. There's no curtain. There's no veil. It's split. It's torn. March in there to the presence of God and tell him what you need and give him your burdens. And friend, may I say to you, the same thing's true for you, that so many times I know you too end up carrying the burdens of life and they weigh you down, and some, if you're not careful, they'll kill you. Because God didn't design you to carry those burdens by yourself. In fact, he didn't design you to carry them at all. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, come to me, for my burden is light, and my shoulders, my yoke is easy. I'll carry your burden for you. Just bring them on into the Holy of Holies, lay them down in front of the ark, give them to me. But friends, we've got to take advantage of, we've got to utilize this access that God has given us. And so many times we forget we've got it, or at least we act like we've forgotten we got it. Listen, God wants us to use it. God wants us to march right into the Holy of Holies and talk to him about every problem we got and lay off every burden we've got. We have an open invitation from God to go in there and talk to him about parking spaces. Yeah, yeah, man, I never drive into D.C. without going in the Holy of Holies for a parking space first. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not kidding you. And I'll tell you what, I get some awesome parking spots too. Go on in there and tell him about the struggles your children are having. Go on in there and tell him about the homework you're struggling with. Go on in there and tell him about the project or the proposal at work that's killing you. Go on in there and tell him about the fact you can't find your keys and you don't know where they went. Or you're having health problems. There's nothing too small or nothing too large that you can't march into the Holy of Holies and tell God about. and that you can't lay off on God. And he said, I'll take your burden, give it to me, and I'll give you my peace in its place. Friends, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have a new, gracious position with God. We're family. It's a position the rest of mankind doesn't have. And God says, look, take advantage of, utilize this new position. The veil is torn. The Holy of Holies is open. You have my invitation. Come on in and tell me what you need. And I'll show you mercy. And I'll give you grace to help in the time of need. Now, does this mean we don't march in there with humility? Oh, no. It means we go in with humility, but we go in with boldness. You say, I don't know, how do those two fit together? Oh, my friends, if you're a follower of Christ, you know how they fit together. You can be humble and bold at the same time, humble in an awareness of what we really are, and bold in the confidence of what Jesus did for us on the cross. That's the beauty of walking with Christ as a follower of Jesus. And that's the message of the torn curtain. I hope you'll take it to heart. And for those of us here who are really struggling and carrying burdens we got no business carrying, man, I hope you'll go out of here and you'll go into the Holy of Holies and say, Lord Jesus, thanks for tearing that curtain. I'm here. Here I am. And Lord, this is what I need. And you watch. God will take care of you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us from your word today and reminding us that as followers of Christ, you have given us something the rest of the world does not have. We are family. And as family, we have access to you right through the veil and into the Holy of Holies itself. So, Lord Jesus, encourage us to utilize this wonderful privilege you've given us. Lord, encourage us and remind us to bring our burdens right into the very presence of God, to cast all of our cares on him because he cares for us. And Father, I pray that you would encourage people here today to make that transfer of their burdens to you and that you would replace it with the sweet peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, change our lives because we were here today. Change the very way we live every day because we came and studied God's holy and eternal word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.